Wow, how cool is that? Earl Purdy, the fourth Sunday of every month here in Pal Talk. That's very, very cool. I'm excited to hear that. I look forward to hearing Earl. I absolutely loved him out in San Francisco when I went to one of his sessions there, and I'm very excited that he's going to be one of the facilitators at Be the Love in August in Maryland. My daughter and my dog are running towards me. Let's see what's up. What's up? Who's on American Idol tonight?
Guess.
Oh my gosh. I haven't got a clue. Tell me. David Archuleta. Now everybody's going to log out of Pal Talk and go watch American Idol, Jasmine. You think so? You think they're all going to leave Pal Talk and go watch American Idol now that... Okay, guys, I don't know why you'd want to hang around here now. David Archuleta's on American Idol right now. Both the dog and the daughter were very excited, came running towards me. Oh, and I was talking about Earl Raj Purdy, I know. But, yeah, I'm excited that Earl is going to be with us in August at Be the Love. let's see, who else is going to be at Be the Love with us? It's going to be me and Dove and Earl and Pamela Silberman and Cheryl Valentine and John Mulrooney, who's a real hoot. He's a lot of fun. Donna Marie Carey is going to be providing the music, and she's great. And then Nick Arandez, I think is how you say his last name. Nick will be there. So, yeah, I said Dove first this time, Dove and Regina. So it'll be a lot of fun. Be the Love. And if anybody wants more information, they can go to www.bethelove.us. And that's August 7th, 8th, and 9th this year. Same place as last year, New Windsor, Maryland. So, yeah, Earl will be there. We're going to be getting lots of Earl. That's great news. Okay, so we're here tonight for Holy Spirit Guides, those of you who did not, you know, quickly log out and go watch American Idol. And I'm going to give you a link to the very first message that we're going to look at. Holy Spirit Guides is where we're just going in chronological order through the messages that Holy Spirit has given me to help me along the way, always reaching me right where I was at and helping me to take the step that was necessary at the time. But what's interesting is how timely I think the messages still seem to be when we go back and look at them again. What I would like to do, of course, before we do anything, is just join with the Holy Spirit in the mind and in the heart and ask for guidance. So if you all would join me in that, I would really appreciate it. So turn off your TVs. Turn down the sound for just a moment. And let's go to Holy Spirit. I'll try to finish before David steps on stage. Here we go. Holy Spirit, I would like to say thank you. I would like to express gratitude for joy, for happiness, for peace, for that realization that allows us to experience joy without difference. What I find, of course, Holy Spirit, is that I have a split mind. And using the language of A Course in Miracles, sometimes I experience from my wrong mind. And sometimes I experience from my right mind. But what I want to express gratitude for, Holy Spirit, is that time in the right mind. That time when there is just joy, just peace, happiness, with no object, no seeming reason, no catalyst. Just is. And what I love, Holy Spirit, as the right mind seems to become more and more a part of the experience is how we can live through experiences that we know at one time would have upset us. And now there's just this joy. And nothing that seems to come from the outside world, not even the little thoughts that seem to show up in the mind, are able to shake it. It's so sure. I read the opening to the clarification for terms, I think it was yesterday, and today I happened to pop into Pal Talk just as Lenny Rose was reading those first few paragraphs from the clarification of terms again. And one thing that stood out for me both yesterday and today was the idea that we are not to focus on the error, but to overlook it. And what's amazing is that I have discovered it is true overlooking that seems to enable the joy. Just being okay with everything as it is, no judgment, no desire to change it. And there's the joy. And so I want to put my attention there, my gratitude there, that I may continue to learn this lesson, that I may continue to realize, to see, and to treat the meaningless as meaningless, unimportant, and therefore continue to experience this joy. Thank you so much for all of your guidance. As we look at the messages that we look at tonight, I ask you to please guide us to see whatever is most helpful for us to see, and to realize whatever is most helpful for us to realize. Thank you very much for your gifts. Amen. All right. I see a couple more people have popped into the room. So here is the link again. And let's see. This message is called I Feel Torn in Different Directions. And right now I don't remember anything about this message, but maybe as I start reading it, we'll come back. We'll see what happens. So, here's the question. Holy Spirit, sometimes it seems as if our love of A Course in Miracles... Wait, one second. Yes, dear? What?
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay, thank you. Good night. Love you. Okay, here we go. Oh, yeah, the date of the message. Thank you, Lord Blue, for answering that question. It looks like it's 1306. Okay, here we go. Holy Spirit, sometimes it seems as if our love of A Course in Miracles and our desire to awaken separates us from the ones we love and live with. There seems to be a perception on their part and on ours that we ignore them in favor of course-related activities. What would you share regarding this concern? And, you know, I don't remember the specific day or anything, But I certainly remember there was a time, it doesn't seem to be true anymore, but there was a time when living with Jasmine, when I would be asked to teach like I am now, or to be on the phone with someone, or I would feel that it was time for me to be still or to read the course or to talk to spirit, and it would seem that Jasmine would want me with her. And it would seem that there was a strong resistance there. And I remember inside of me a lot of frustration, a lot of anger, because I felt like I really needed to be with whatever course activity I was feeling to be with at the moment. And I felt like I had to fight for that. So this is what this is talking about, is that feeling I had. And Jasmine, of course, also felt like she was being ignored in order for me to teach or in order for me to read the course, not spending enough time with her. Mary Ellen is asking, is there sound? Does everyone else have sound? Okay, everyone else has sound. Okay, good. Thanks for answering. Okay, Mary Ellen has sound now. All right, so let's see what Holy Spirit has to say about this. But I'm sure I'm not the only one who's experienced this. I know that others with families have experienced this too. So let's see what Holy Spirit's answer is. A Course in Miracles is a guide to love. But the Course is not love itself. Love comes from the awareness and acceptance of the truth and joy of oneness. And so I said, when the ones we live with do not seem to share our desire to be aware of this truth, it seems that we have to choose between living in the world with them and consistently working on forgiving the world with you. What can you share with us? The answer. Stillness holds the answer that you seek. When you feel torn between loved ones in the world and the love of God, you have forgotten the peace of stillness. To feel torn between any seeming set of options is to view the situation through the ego, through the belief in separateness and separate wills. And I notice that what I say next is, yes, that's clear, but based on where I am now and my memory of where I was in January of 2006, I'm guessing that even though I said, yes, that's clear, the truth is at that time I don't think I fully understood what Holy Spirit was saying. I don't think I had yet learned that when I am still in my mind, that everything is okay. I had not learned, for example, that if I am still in my mind, it would be okay if Jasmine seems to be insisting in the moment that I don't teach. Like now, if that should happen, it hasn't happened in a very long time. She's very accepting of this type of activity now. But if that would happen now, you know, I can see the possibility now of just saying, hey, guys, I need to go. I'm sorry. See you. Love you. Bye. And going and being with her. But 3 years ago, I couldn't even have seen that possibility. It seemed like I had to have it my way. And I didn't know that. I didn't see that. I didn't realize that that's what I was doing. I was fighting for my way. And I wasn't at all still in the mind. In fact, the mind was in some sort of panic that if I didn't have it my way, I was losing something very, very, very important by not being able to teach or not being able to have, quote, quiet time or course study time, that I was losing something. And now I know that's just not true. Now I know that's not possible. It's not possible for me to lose anything. So now I could have the stillness of mind and accept the situation if it would present itself. And then I really didn't understand. So even though I say, yes, that's clear, I don't think it was at the time, because I think I really believed I had to have it my way or I was losing something. And that is not stillness of mind at all. It's exactly like Holy Spirit says here. It's viewing the situation through the ego. So let me just read what Holy Spirit said again, and then we'll continue. Stillness holds the answer that you seek. When you feel torn between loved ones in the world and the love of God, you have forgotten the peace of stillness. To feel torn between any seeming set of options is to view the situation through the ego, through the belief in separateness and separate wills. So I said, yes, that's clear. But in the moments that I feel torn, separate wills do appear to be real. How can I let my perspective be changed? So you can see at that time, I really couldn't imagine not getting my way when my way seemed to be, I need quiet now, I need to read the course now, I need to teach now, I need to be on the phone now. I think, you know, using the language of the course, what I didn't see was that I had made these types of activities special. Maybe as if I needed them more in order to awaken and reach peace. And what I didn't see is that in my insistence on them, in my making them special, I was in that moment throwing away peace. I wasn't yet ready to see that. And so again, I'm saying, in the moments that I feel torn, separate wills do appear to be real. And that was the situation for me at the time. How can I let my perspective be changed? And the Holy Spirit said, your answer is stillness. When you are experiencing through the ego, you are experiencing through the belief in separate wills. When you do this, separate wills seem very real indeed. There is no reason to deny that your experience is your experience. Such denial would be fear, and that would not be helpful. When you seem faced with the experience of separate wills, know that you are having that experience because you are using the filter of ego. I got to tell you, I love this. There's something in me that loves it when Holy Spirit points out that the error is mine. Because if the error is mine, I can do something about it. If I am the one throwing away the peace, then I can change my mind. If the answer from Holy Spirit had been something like, which of course Holy Spirit would never ever in a million years say this, this would not be Holy Spirit, this would be ego. But if Holy Spirit's answer had been something like, you need to teach your daughter that it's very important that you have this spiritual time with me. You need to teach your daughter that she needs to accept this, I would have been screwed. Because what if my daughter didn't want to learn that? What if she didn't have that willingness? I would be victim to her choice. But fortunately, Holy Spirit never comes back and says, you need to teach your daughter. Holy Spirit always, always, always shows me that if there is a lack of peace in my mind, the error is mine. And I'm so grateful for that, because that means I'm victim to no one or nothing. It is really just my choice. What do I want more? Do I want to continue to cling to my way? Or do I want that experience of peace? So Holy Spirit says, when you seem faced with the experience of separate wills, know that you are having that experience because you are using the filter of the ego. Then, be willing to put the filter of the ego aside. Be completely willing to take your mind into silence. You know, the question then comes, what is silence? Which I'm sure Holy Spirit will answer in a moment, but just what exactly is silence? Is this thought silence? But I need my quiet time. That thought is not silence. That thought is the thought that's creating the frustration, the lack of peace. It's kind of funny too, because it seems to be a thought asking for silence, but I need my quiet time. But that is not silence. That is not silence. Okay, I had to peek and see what Lord Blue was saying. I knew he was being ornery, and so I had to peek. He says, silence is what men always ask for, and women never give it to men. I knew he was being ornery. I had to look. Okay, so here we go. When you seem faced with the experience of separate wills, know that you are having the experience because you are using the filter of the ego. Then, be willing to put the filter of the ego aside. Be completely willing to take your mind into silence. Let go of all thoughts that tell you that you know anything about the situation. Realize that any knowledge you think you have about the situation is knowledge that you learned through the ego. Therefore, its purpose is to support the ego. Then, remember your purpose and let all prior learned knowledge go. Wow. I mean, just wow. I mean, you know, even the thought, if we go into the thought, I need my quiet time. Really, where does that thought come from? Isn't that thought coming from some prior learning through the ego that I am going to be upset, out of touch with Holy Spirit, unable to cope, if I don't get away and get my quiet time? Aren't I just believing all of that? And therefore it's continuing to be true for me. But aren't I just believing all of that in that moment? What if I just let go of thinking I need to separate myself from this person and have quiet time in order to be at peace? What if I let go of thinking that that prior learned knowledge is true? What Holy Spirit, of course, is doing is pointing the way to peace right now, right here. And in fact, look how important it is. Look what Holy Spirit says next. Let me say that again. Let me say that again. Let all prior learned knowledge go. Notice that I did not make any exception in that statement. Wow. Now what that does is that means we have to become aware of when we're holding on to prior learned knowledge. And this is where awareness comes in, and asking Holy Spirit for help can be important, because I submit that we aren't even aware of when we're holding on to prior learned knowledge. In fact, I submit, it's probably very easy to have that thought, I need my quiet time, and not realize that's coming from prior learned knowledge that was learned through the filter of the ego. But you know, there's an easy test. The easy test is, am I seeing something separate from me right now? You know, am I seeing something separate from me? We're talking about the perception of separate wills. And certainly, if I'm seeing my daughter as demanding time with me, when I am thinking that I need quiet time, or I need to be on this phone, or I need to be in pal talk, I'm seeing separateness. That's an easy test. If I am seeing separateness, if I am seeing separate wills, then I am listening to prior learned knowledge in my own mind that I learned from the ego. You know, maybe my prior learned knowledge is telling me it's irresponsible just to walk away from this teaching in the middle of it. That's not a good thing to do. I can't do that. And I'm believing that prior learned knowledge. Or, you know, maybe my prior learned knowledge is telling me it is rude to not give my full attention to the person on the phone when the person on the phone needs me. You know, there's some belief that may even seem completely right. But it's that prior learned knowledge that I learned through the ego. And look what he says again. Let me say that again. Let all prior learned knowledge go. Notice that I did not make any exception to that statement. When you have done this, your mind will be still. When I've let go of all of my prior learned knowledge, when I've accepted that I know nothing, I have no idea what the best thing is to do right now. I have no idea what needs to be. I have no idea what the answer is. None. When you have done this, your mind will be still. Then ask me in complete humility, what am I to do now? The answer will come to you. You may also feel a strong temptation to doubt the answer that comes. The temptation to doubt comes from the belief that you are separate from me. Do not listen to the temptation to doubt. Listen to what you heard first within the stillness. Give your faith and gratitude to that thought, for that is your answer. I think it took a bit of time to learn to trust the answer that I heard. Because it seems like, even though in all sincerity I would take the mind to the point, and you can feel it in the heart when you do it truthfully, take the mind to the point of I know nothing, I do not know what is best. And then say, Holy Spirit, what would you have me do now? And the answer may come, hang up the phone, or the answer may come, ask Jasmine for just 5 minutes. Then the very next thought would often be, you can't hear, Holy Spirit, or that's just what you want. And it took some time to trust myself, to trust that I had gotten to that point of sincere asking. And so therefore, the first thing I had heard was the right answer. And by right answer, I mean Holy Spirit's answer. But I did get to the point of being able to trust that when I know I've put my desired outcomes aside, when I know I've put my will aside, when I know I hit that open place in the mind, that still place in the mind, and asked and an answer is given, to do that. And to me, that's easy. Now that I know how to do it, that's easy to do. That's easy to do. It is easy to put my will aside and ask Holy Spirit what I am to do. It wasn't easy when I thought I had to have it my way, when I was believing my prior learned knowledge and I thought that I need my still time. You know, I had to learn to let go of those types of thoughts. But then I found it's easy. It's really easy to put my will aside and ask what am I to do and do that. That's not hard at all. And then I said to the Holy Spirit, this is truly great. Thank you. But I have one more question. The work described above sounds like it will take time. And again, that was just coming from my own doubt of the answer. If I had been able to trust immediately, it would not have taken time. It took time for me to learn to trust, which is what I heard Dove saying as I was coming in the room, that sometimes it seems to take time to learn to trust. So that's what it took. It took time to learn to trust. So I said, this is truly great. Thank you. But I have one more question. The work described above sounds like it will take time. It will take time to let go of my will. It will take time to let go of my prior learned knowledge. It will take time to get to stillness. It will take time. Sometimes I seem to need to make a decision very quickly. For example, I could have someone seeking help and expressing concerns to me on the phone while Jasmine is pulling on my arm and asking me to hang up and spend time with her. And that's the type of situation we used to have here a lot, you know, a few years ago. I'm sure it was a symbol of the conflict in my own mind. But I would be on the phone with someone. The person might even be crying, you know, describing whatever was upsetting to them at the moment and looking for help. And meanwhile, I've got Jasmine saying, Mom, come on, hang up, come on, literally pulling on my arm. These are the kinds of situations I found myself in. And I said, how do I find stillness among the hectic, pressure-filled noise? And Holy Spirit said, remember quickly that hectic, pressure-filled noise is a perception, and accept that it is nothing more than that. Then ask, what is the answer now? In other words, Holy Spirit put it right back on me. If you need an answer quickly, all right, then you need to quickly get to stillness. You need to quickly remember that you don't know anything. You need to quickly remember that you do not have the answer yourself. And you know what Holy Spirit isn't agreeing with? He isn't agreeing that it has to take time. And you know what? It doesn't. That's completely up to me. That's up to my own choice for resistance. If I choose to cling to that thought, but this phone call is important, if I choose to cling to that thought, Jasmine is being annoying as heck, if I choose to cling to those thoughts, you know, if I choose to believe this is too hectic, I can't be still now, well, then it's going to take time, but that's because of the choice I made. It's not because of the situation. It's not because I'm victim to anything. It's not because anything else is holding me back. It's because I'm choosing not to follow the Holy Spirit's recommendation. I'm choosing to keep right on believing those thoughts in my mind, and I am not choosing to go still. The truth is, we can go still instantly. Instantly. As soon as a situation seems to arise that is upsetting to us, we can realize it is our perception. We're the one listening to ego. We can put aside all thoughts. We can go still instantly and ask for help. So the Holy Spirit is not agreeing with me that it has to take time. He's telling me that I can do this. He's saying if you need an answer quickly, then remember quickly. Make the decision quickly to be still, if that's what you want. Remember quickly that hectic, pressure-filled noise is a perception, and accept that it is nothing more than that. Then ask, what is the answer now? That will be enough. Trust the answer that comes. It is the best for everyone. And at least over time, and maybe as a result of this practice, and a result of trusting the answers, and the situation here has obviously shifted. Nobody's pulling on my arm, you know, asking me to go watch American Idol. She had to come in and tell us how exciting American Idol is, but she's not crying and begging me to watch American Idol with her anymore. You know, she accepts, and she accepts what is. So, there we go. That's the answer to I am torn in different directions. What I'm going to do now is just let go of the mic for a second, see if anybody else wants to say anything. And if not, then we'll go on to the next message, which is called, whoops, I turned off the mic too early. I was still talking. Then we'll go to the next message, which is about words. So I'll give you the link to that message too. Okay, now I'm letting go of the mic on purpose. Also, if you're still on the previous message, what you can do is just scroll back up to the top, and you'll see at the very top where it says about words, and you can just click on that, and that will take you to the next message about words. Okay, notice Cliff has his hand up. Cliff, I'm turning the mic over to you. Okay, Cliff, so it looks like your mic probably is not working, so if you want to type something, please go ahead. Nah, okay, I understand. Sometimes typing is way too much work. All right, then let's just go on to the next message called About Words. The date on this message, it looks like, is probably, I don't even see the date. I don't know where Laura Blue got the date. He's pretty brilliant. I'm going to guess it's 1-3 or 1-4-0-6. It looks like there was no question here. It's just Holy Spirit talking. So let's see what it says. There's Lord Blue. See, he's smart. He knows the date. It's 1-4-0-6, he says. Okay, here we go. Words are a part of the dream. So words have no meaning of themselves. Each one who seems to think with a separated mind interprets words based on his or her ego learning experience. The fact that words have no absolute meaning is the basis of miscommunication within the world. Yet, humans believe that words are communication, and the sleeping Son of God believes he is humans. So words are used as a tool for communication. But do not be confused. Words are never used to communicate, because words do not have the power of communication. Now that's very, very interesting. Here we are sitting here reading words. I'm talking in words. You're typing in words. And the Holy Spirit says words do not have the power of communication. It's a pretty strong statement, but it's absolutely true. And I'm guessing every one of you guys know this. I'm guessing that what we're being taught here is something we've all run across. But it seems to me, in my experience, that frequently, highly frequently actually, whenever there appears to be conflict in discussing the Course, for example, or NTI, that often that conflict is simply at the level of words. That a person has one understanding of what the words mean, and another person has another understanding of what the words mean. And it seems to me that there is a way of reading words, listening to words, yet actually hearing a communication that is beyond the words, so that the words and symbols are not confusing. And I guess, since, you know, we are the perfectly free child of God, that the choice of whether we let words be an obstacle for us or whether we are able to listen beyond the words is completely up to us. So if I choose to be able to hear what is being said, even if the words are completely different, that's because I want the real message, the heart message. If I choose to be upset by the words that I hear, that is because I am choosing not to hear the real message or the heart message. I'm actually choosing resistance. So, Holy Spirit continues. But I love that sentence. Words do not have the power to communicate. It's a pretty strong sentence. They don't even have that power. Okay, so let's continue. I am a whisper that whispers into a mind that is real and beyond any perceived world. The whisper, like the mind, is beyond the world. So it is a form of communication that is beyond words. Trust this as you seem to read any words that are coming from me. The thought is not in the words or in any symbol within the world. The thought is beyond all symbols and cannot be reduced to symbols. When you hear my words, read my words, or witness my symbols, forgive the words and the symbols. Reach only for the meaning by giving no meaning to the symbols yourself. Ah, I love that sentence too. Reach only for the meaning by giving no meaning to the symbols yourself. One word that I've noticed seems to lead to controversy is the word mind, M-I-N-D. And I'm not going to go into the different controversies I've heard around that because it's just totally unimportant. But what I do know is I have seen the Holy Spirit use the word mind, that same four-letter word, in a number of instances where it did not carry the same meaning. It simply did not. And to say that the word has one consistent meaning and to hold to that meaning would be to totally misunderstand the Holy Spirit's message. The only way to understand the Holy Spirit's message would be to say that the word mind has no meaning. If you can say the word mind has no meaning, you can then understand what the Holy Spirit is saying every time he uses the word mind. But if you say the word mind means this and you put it in a box, then you're going to misunderstand the message a lot of the time. So Holy Spirit is saying, reach only for the meaning by giving no meaning to the symbols yourself. Let meaning be given to you. I love that. Let meaning be given to you. In other words, as you're reading the words, and right now I'm using the example of the word mind, as you're reading the word mind, do not say to yourself, mind means this. You read with an openness to let Holy Spirit define for you what mind means. And if mind has one meaning in one sentence, and a completely different meaning in another sentence, then you'll be okay with that. You won't be confused because you did not define the word mind. And it can change. Another word is consciousness. I saw a question about consciousness somewhere earlier this week because somebody saw consciousness used one way, I believe it was in the Course, another way with Ramana Maharshi, and they thought there was a conflict there, but that's because they thought the word had meaning. The word has no meaning. It has no meaning. Words do not have the power to communicate. So let meaning be given to you. It is a gift that you will not feel. Oh, let me start over, because I think starting right there kind of doesn't make sense. Let me start over. Reach only for the meaning by giving no meaning to the symbols yourself. Let meaning be given to you. It is a gift that you will feel you can adequately pass on using symbols. But in accepting the gift, you have given it. For in accepting, you give, and in giving, you accept. So again, just a little message on words. I think all of us know this. I think that we've all learned this. But it's just great, I think. It's great sometimes to have these simple reminders, that words have no meaning, and the best way to understand is not to give the words meaning and let Holy Spirit share. We have about 12 minutes left, so I'm going to go ahead and give you guys one more link. We'll do one more message. Oh, wait, no, I'm not. The hands are going up like crazy. Let's wait and see what happens. Laura Blue, you're first. Laura Blue says, I noticed the expression, the sleeping Son of God, in this message. So the question came to my mind, is the sleeping Son of God exactly the same as the self? In other words, is the self asleep? If not, are we talking about two selves? Wow, talk about a question, Lord Blue. I'm going to answer you from my experience, okay, because that's the best that I can do. My experience is the Holy Spirit, I can't say for certain, I probably can say in my experience as Regina, I have not been in touch with the totally awakened mind that I would call God mind beyond words. So I'm going to say that. I don't feel that I have been in touch with that. I feel that I have been in touch with what I would call the bridge mind of the Holy Spirit, the mind that stretches between the sleeping mind and the fully awake mind. Okay, so from my experience with the bridge mind, the Holy Spirit, that mind is always awake. That mind is never asleep. Based on that, the assumption must be that the fully awakened mind, the God mind, is the same. It is always awake, and that would be what I would call the capital S self. It is always awake. It is never asleep. And both of those, for lack of better words, are in me now and in you now. And I can literally feel myself shifting from the fullness of the Holy Spirit mind, sometimes all the way back to the fullness of the ego mind. So my experience is almost as if there are what I will call, for lack of better words, levels of mind. The truest level of mind would be the capital S self. And it is always, always, always itself. It does not lose its awareness. But it's like we've built on top of it a toy or an illusion. And we can focus our attention there. And when our attention is focused there, we seem not to experience our truth. And that's what we're calling the sleeping Son of God. But in reality, our self cannot sleep. We just shift our attention. It's more like we shift our attention, I guess, is the way I would describe it. But I know that the awakened part of me never sleeps. It is always there, and it is always reachable. So, not an answer that the thinking mind is jumping up and down saying, yeah, I get it. But maybe an answer that the heart says, yeah, I get it. I get it. We're not actually asleep. But somehow we've shifted our attention away from our wakefulness. It still is. Okay, Cliff, what do you got?
Okay, is it working now? Is it working now? Yeah. You know, it really helps to unmute the little box where the speaker icon is. That helps a lot. I wanted to share a perception story about this morning. There's this little diner that I go to, a mom-and-pop diner, and I know a lot of the people at the counter. And this guy, Dave, was in there, and I like Dave. I like the Dave's in there. I like to sit next to Dave and talk. And we were just talking about the economy. Yeah, exciting, huh? And so I was, like, giving the analogy of, well, if I need help, I could max out my credit cards, but then I would have to pay them back, and it would just be pushing the problem into the future. And when that comes around, won't there, like, be, won't the you-know-what hit the fan? And he goes, yeah, maybe. And I go, and then people are going to be, the egos will flare up, and they'll be scratching and clawing for survival. And he goes, well, I have a different view on that. I said, well, let's hear it. He said, maybe it would just be an opportunity for people to come together, and the people that have more would be willing to share and help others out, and it'd be more of a community. People would get down together and help each other, and there'd be a sense of community. And I said to him, oh, well, I like your perception much better than mine. The point of this story is that I consider my diner friends, you know, that hang out at the diner, they're just like diner people. They're everyday people. They're not like my holy friends. I have my holy friends, and I have my diner friends, you know? And it's like, wow, this guy's talking like Course in Miracles. He's like, it's just an opportunity. Basically, he's saying, oh, it's just be an opportunity to heal. And I was like, my jaw dropped, and I said, oh, well, I like you're playing better. And so first of all, I got to see my ego story that I was coming up with. Secondly, believing and miracles, which are a correction of perception, can happen anywhere. So why did I tell this story now? I don't know. I was told earlier in the day, like, hey, when you see Regina, tell her that story. Thank you.
Well, I enjoyed the story. I mean, I think it's great, because I think what the story really tells us, it's very similar to what I was talking about in the beginning, although it's not exactly the same, but it's similar in that I saw myself as having a spiritual life and a non-spiritual life. And I made the spiritual life special. And I saw a conflict when I was doing this, a conflict between the two lives. And, you know, what you, at least in my perception, what you just shared is, again, that a little story that brings back into mind the realization there is no separation. And that even includes within our seeming lives. We don't have spiritual lives and non-spiritual lives, spiritual friends and, you know, diner friends, spiritual friends and family. It's really all the same. It all has one purpose, and it can all speak to us. It can all answer us. It can all help us. Every single experience is here literally to assist us in our awakening. And there is no enemy. There is no enemy. If we perceive something as not being a part of our awakening, or if we perceive something as being an obstacle to our awakening, that's our error. That's what Holy Spirit was saying in that very first message that we read. That's our error. We're the ones seeing through the ego in that moment. When we see everything as being here to help us with that one purpose, then we're seeing with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says that healing is all that the world is for. That's its only purpose. And that would include the diner friends. Although, Cliff, I thought that would make a really cute sitcom, you and your diner friends. And I used to, once upon a time, have a fantasy of working in a diner for just that reason. I thought it would be fun. I actually wanted to travel around the United States and have like a camper and park myself in different towns for, you know, 6 months, 9 months, whatever, work in a diner, get to know the locals, and then move on. That was that was a fantasy I had at one time. I thought that would be a cool, free way to live. So yeah. Well, now we're down to just a couple minutes left, so we don't really have time for the next message. So I will start with that message next time. It's simply called A Message from the Holy Spirit. So we will look at that next time, which will be 2 weeks from tonight. So that's going to be the first Wednesday in May. Can you believe it? Yeah, Lord Blue wants to ask a question. Should we let him? You guys, what do you think? He says, why did the separation happen? Oh, thank God, Lord Blue, you asked a question that I can answer. It didn't. It didn't. That's the answer. Thanks for the easy one. Thanks for the easy question. Okay, you guys, so I'll also be back Friday at 2 o'clock for the NTI study group. We're in Revelation, having lots of fun there. And then if I can make it, I'll be here Sunday night to hear Earl Purdy. I'll also be here at 7, by the way, 7 on Sunday night to do the NTI devotional. Okay, I love you guys, and it's great to be home. Bye.